the word and let your voice be heard. It's Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to another edition of Praise in the City. Thank you so much for joining me on this glorious Saturday morning. Well, get yourself ready for a very riveting conversation. Today, we are going to be talking about the book and the play, Uncle Tom's Cabin, Slavery, and Race in Philadelphia. So I'm sure you're going to have quite a few things to say, and we're going to have some amazing guests joining us. Let me give you the phone number so you can prepare yourself now. I definitely want to hear from you. 215-263-1039. As always, we start off with a moment of inspiration.
Grace and mercy. Grace is when you get more than you deserve. Mercy is when you don't get exactly what you do deserve. I don't deserve it, so unworthy. Still, you bless me. Anyway, structure, tell the story. Say,
don't deserve it, so
yeah, anybody know what I'm talking about?
So, oh Lord,
don't deserve it.
So unworthy, Lord.
So unworthy. Still
best
me anywhere.
If I can get a witness in the house, just lift your hands. Yes, sir. You look beyond my faults and you see my needs, God. I thank you for it.
So, so unworthy, Lord. Yes.
Anybody want to be real in the house and just apologize to the Lord? Come on, you can say this.
Falling short,
short of your word.
In spite of myself, yeah, Lord. So sorry, Jesus. Hey, short of your word. You keep looking beyond me, Jesus.
Anyway.
I've fallen short.
I've fallen short.
times.
So many times.
Still you bless me anyway.
Still you bless me.
Come on, say it with me.
Keep blessing me anyway. I love it. I love it. Good morning and welcome to Praise in the City on Praise 103.9 FM. Thank you so much for joining me again. It is always a pleasure to have you here on a Saturday morning. So today we are going to have a discussion about Uncle Tom's Cabin, slavery, and race in Philadelphia. There is a play that's opening next week. It is Uncle Tom's Cabin, An Unfortunate History, and I'm sure you're going to want to hear a lot more about it, but we're also going to be taking this time to talk about race in the city of Philadelphia and slavery. So I want you to be a part of this discussion. So here's the phone number, 215-263-1039. Joining me for the discussion today are the director and co-adapter, should I say?
Yeah.
Co-adapter, okay. Director and co-adapter of Uncle Tom's Cabin, An Unfortunate History, Mr. Lane Savadove. Also, we have three of the actors. It's a very large cast, so we couldn't have everybody here this morning. We'd have no room. But we have three of the actors from the show, Ryan Sanders, Stephen Wright, and Anthony Martinez-Briggs. Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning, Tiffany.
All right. Fantastic. Let's start off with you, Lane. Now, you have a very interesting story as to how you chose to do Uncle Tom's Cabin. And by the way, your theater company is Ego Pro, Ego Po Classic Theater.
Yeah. So we were doing, we do theme seasons. So the whole year is like this exciting journey for the audience to go on. And this year's theme we had decided a couple years ago was going to be the vaudeville era of American theater, which is around the 1880s to the 1930s. Mm-hmm. And people don't know a lot about it. I didn't even know a lot about it. So I thought it was a really exciting. It was sort of the birth of the sort of like golden age of American theater. I thought it'd be really exciting to approach. But a lot of the plays from that era aren't published because it was before there was copyright. Mm-hmm. So as I began to do research, I realized that the most seen play in that era was Uncle Tom's Cabin. And in fact, it is still to this day the most attended play in American history.
Mm.
I was like, wow, I had no idea. And so I began researching it. And of course, you know, during that era, the versions of Uncle Tom's Cabin were often in blackface and were in minstrelsy versions and, you know, and started to really start a lot of the stereotypes that people attached to Uncle Tom's Cabin. And that really didn't interest me. But I was researching it and I went back to the original novel, which I had never read. And then I was blown away. I had no idea what to expect from Stowe's novel, but it wasn't what I read. And what I read was actually one of the most beautiful books written in American history, a book that was really brave and courageous, a book that really showed the sort of the depth and humanity of every character from slave to master and forced us to sort of see their humanity and instead of blame the individuals within the system of slavery, blame the system. Mm-hmm. It blamed America. Plus, Stowe also challenged America to, if, you know, the end of slavery was going to come, that we had to do a bunch of steps in order to allow us to sort of reach a kind of promised land. Mm-hmm. And it was really clear that what she asked the country to do in 1840, the country still hasn't done.
Mm-hmm.
And so the novel suddenly felt incredibly relevant that it still challenged this country today to get to really solve the legacy of slavery, that we haven't solved it yet. And I was I immediately knew I had to share this with audiences.
Okay, so you're not just doing Uncle Tom's Cabin. You've put a twist on it. And if you don't mind explaining what that twist is.
Sure. I imagined traditionally staging Uncle Tom's Cabin after doing an adaptation. And it didn't interest me to sort of create, you know, 10 slave roles for African Americans in Philadelphia. I didn't see the benefit for the acting community. I didn't see the benefit for the audience. And what really suddenly interested me was the idea that we actually investigate playing the other. A huge part of theater is that we take on people different from ourselves and we imagine ourselves in their place. And I wanted both the actors and the audience to do it. And one day it just sort of popped in my head. Clearly, I should just reverse the races of the cast. Mm-hmm. And as I started to play that through in my head, I thought it was an absolutely beautiful idea. Mm-hmm. Now, as you start to share that with people, hey, I'm doing Uncle Tom's Cabin, but all the slave characters are going to be played by whites and all the master characters are going to be played by African Americans. You start to, mm-hmm. you know, get people's shocked reactions, which I didn't expect because the idea seemed so elegant to me when mm-hmm. I thought about it. And I do to this day think it is the right thing. I think the cast has shown that it's the right thing. I think people mm-hmm. who have seen workshops of the production know it's the right thing. And there's this really beautiful thing that occurs, which is that when you watch the show, you watch the actor and the skin color of the actor, and you watch your imagination of the character side by side. Mm-hmm. So it's almost you get this double exposure, mm-hmm. and then they mm-hmm. start to merge together. You see the cross-racial casting stops being a big deal after very long. Mm-hmm. It's what sort of shocks everybody. Mm-hmm. But then once that happens, something really deeply is changing in the audience's like DNA about race. Mm-hmm. Suddenly we realize that we can really cross over the boundaries of race and identity, and that really our identities are really flexible and really bigger and broader. And I think mm-hmm. you get this great sense of sort of like freedom mm-hmm. from watching the show.
All right. So I want to reintroduce the actors who are joining us in studio to get their take on it. And then, of course, my listening audience, the show isn't the show without you. And if you have any questions of your own before I just put one out there, if you have anything you want to say about what you're hearing, please give us a call. Or if you have any questions to the cast or to the director, give us a call. 215-263-1039. So we'll start off with you, Anthony. When you first saw the posting for this show and it mentioned that it was going to be a race reversed cast, what was your initial reaction, and then why did you audition?
My initial reaction to
you can move that over if you like.
Right on. My initial reaction, first of all, was ooh, an opportunity. Mm-hmm. My second reaction was, well, I'm pretty ethnically ambiguous, so I feel as though I'm going to fit in. I'm not sure where.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you say ethnically ambiguous, explain that.
Well, I could pass, if you will. I'm mm-hmm. I'm half Puerto Rican, half Black, mm-hmm. half African American, however people prefer it. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, when I was in high school, I mean, I was the lightest person in my whole class. Mm-hmm. So it could go either way, mm-hmm. and people don't necessarily know who I am, what I am. They can't pick and guess my culture from seeing me, mm-hmm. and that's a good thing mm-hmm. in the theatrical community, because I can play multitude of roles, mm-hmm. And it's an interesting thing as far as like how I identify myself to new mm-hmm. groups of people. Mm-hmm. So that's what I mean, ethnically ambiguous.
Okay,
nice and olive-y.
All right. So as far as the play and what it stands for and what it means, how has it affected you in terms of how you look at yourself, how you look at your history, how you identify yourself, and have you had any moments in rehearsal that made you say, "Wow, this is freaky"?
Yeah. Well, I think that something that Lane was saying was most interesting to me is because as rehearsals went on, mm-hmm. I found myself not even cognizant that the Black people were playing the slaveholders and that the white people were playing the slaves. It really began to be about these characters and who was oppressed and who wasn't. It wasn't mm-hmm. so much about the color of their skin, which I think mm-hmm. is really pertinent, because you would imagine, especially based on such responses mm-hmm. before the casting was done, It was just amazing that wasn't so important. It was really about what's going on. And Harriet Beecher Stowe's novel is something that I also had not read, but it's a very, very important part of American history.
Okay, good
so
stuff.
So I'm just enlightened.
Yeah. All right, Ryan, I'm going to ask you the same question. What was your first reaction when you saw the posting, and why did you audition?
When I first saw the posting, it immediately raised my eyebrows. And what I did was I immediately talked to my mother, mm-hmm. my father, and my cousin, just to see what their take on it was, mm-hmm. see what their reaction was, and they welcomed the idea and mm-hmm. thought it was a great, groundbreaking idea. Mm-hmm. And like discussed before, this is just about looking at the power structure of slavery being the problem. So mm-hmm. I was making sure that it wasn't, Black actors acting white or mm-hmm. white actors acting Black. It's really us as you know, me as a black actor, just put myself in the circumstance of owning a slave,
a human being,
upper class, and you know, the white actors just being, you know, part of the lower class. So it's not about, you know, acting like the other person's, you know, race. It's really just about the power structure, and that's the great thing about this production.
All right, fantastic. Steven Wright.
Yes, dear. I didn't see a posting. Actually, Lane approached me about it a little over a year ago, and when he told me about the idea, I was really excited. The idea of taking this story that's a, that is a part of American history and just sort of turning it on its ear a little bit, how would the audience digest the story? Because it really is about the story. And as an African-American actor, I have had a lot of opportunities to play roles that were not originally written for African-American actors. In fact, my first show with Ego Poe was Murat Saad. And playing the prisoner who portrays Jean-Paul Marat. And so that that wasn't, it's not necessarily new territory, but with this story and with the, as Brian was saying, with the class structures, it really is interesting to see. I really can't wait for the audience to see.
Now, back to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's Inspiration Station.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. We are in the midst of our discussion about Uncle Tom's Cabin and race in America. The question I put forth to you, do you believe race is still a problem in this country and in this city in particular? If so, why? If not, why not? Give us a call, 215-263-1039. Going right to the phones, we have Connie on the line from New Jersey. Connie, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing blessed.
Awesome. What's your comment?
My comment is that I just feel that if more people just exercise love towards, you know, towards others, God did not put a color to love. And just loving people for who they are, where they are in their life, just embracing rather than, you know, trying to see a difference. And I believe that, that you have, you know, unfortunately we have people that have an evil mindset, which I hate to say, but there are. And I really think that that's the basis. When you can look at someone else and just desire to hurt, then that puts you in that mindset of prejudice, slavery, and all the other, you know, crazy things that come along with that.
And let me ask you really quickly, I'm sorry, Connie, to interrupt your comment. Do you think it is important for us to have multiple conversations about race to heal what problems still exist?
Oh, yes. Yes, because you know, even with what we see happening to our president, you know, as a black man, you know, we have not seen, I mean, yes, they talked about Bush, but not on a racial level. You know, it was more attached to his job, whereas our president is being attacked because of who he is, and which is a shame. So, yes, I do believe that, that we need more conversations. And also, please let us know where this play is going to be.
Oh, we will.
I would love to take my grandchildren to see it.
Fantastic. We will do that at the end of the program. Thank you so much.
Have a blessed day.
You do the same.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's go to line two and speak with Tanya calling in from Camden, New Jersey. Tanya, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning, Tiffany. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you for joining us. What's your comment?
Well, what comment is racism does still exist in this country, but I think as African Americans, we need to first look at ourselves and understand that we are still accepting certain notions that stem from slavery. We are at 2013, and a lot of us are still thinking the lighter you are, the prettier you are, the smaller your features, the prettier you are. And more conversations do need to happen, but they need to happen within the African-American community. We need to be proud of our midnight velvet complexion, our butter complexion. We need to understand that our history is great. We need to be proud of that. And as a Christian, I can say that God did never tell us to abandon our culture. Excuse me, I'm very nervous because I keep this to myself most of the time. God never told African-Americans or any other race to abandon your culture.
Mm-hmm.
You can be a Christian and still accept your African-American culture.
All right. Good comments. Thank you so much, Tanya. I appreciate you listening this morning, and thank you for participating in our discussion.
And have a good day.
You do the same. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to line 5 and speak with Bernard, calling in from South Philadelphia. Bernard, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning, Tiff. How are you?
Good, good. How you doing?
Good, real good.
Awesome. What's your comment?
You know, I've been listening a long time, but I had to get in on this one.
Awesome.
Get in on this one. This is something that is very crucial. It's also very evident that there are things that have happened through our youth.
Mm-hmm.
It's a timing issue. Time heals all wounds, my dad used to say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have white people who are ashamed of their ancestors for what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And you have black folks, now young youth, are willing to forgive them for what they did.
Mm-hmm.
So in time, I believe it'll all be all right. Because mm-hmm. at one time, you couldn't even have a show like this talking
mm-hmm.
about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They would hang us publicly and do vicious things to black men in particular. But time, over time. See, God is about time, but he always is.
Mm-hmm.
He always will be. And as mm-hmm. a result of that, it's all in his hands. And we're going to watch it change right before our very eyes. I used to be one who was so angry
mm-hmm.
about racism.
Mm-hmm.
But now, and I don't mean to say this to be facetious or anything, some of my best friends are white.
Okay. There's that phrasing. There's that phrasing. Bernard, don't make me get in your butt today.
Listen, all things will change over time. The youth will make the difference. At one time, we were being hung outside of the White House, hung on trees and what have you. Now we came from the outhouse, and now we're in the White House.
Right,
I'm so proud of Michelle Obama being in that White House in particular, as well as the president.
Mm-hmm,
but the president, you know, he comes from a mixed, like, you know, his father black, mother white type thing. But I got a sister in the White House now, and I feel good about that. Believe me, she ain't quiet. She's quiet publicly. They got some pillow talk going on.
I get you. I see you, and I hear you. Threefold. Thank you so much. Bernard,
right.
Thank you for participating in our conversation, and thank you for listening to the program this morning.
Anytime.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Michael calling in on line 1 from Camden, New Jersey. Michael, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning, Tiffany. How are you doing?
Good, good. Thank you. How are you?
All's well.
Awesome. What's your comment?
Well, my comment, I believe that prejudice still exists and a form of slavery. Now it's more of a mental slavery. One, due to the fact of a lot of things that happened in back in our history, it's still attached, but now through a mental form of slavery that a lot of African Americans are not released from due to repeating the mindset of families that passed that slave mentality down, and the other thing is that. The prejudice that stems to is a lot of things that are poured into a black community that would not go into different communities, mm-hmm. other communities, and it's almost like a dumping ground for anything that would not be accepted in other communities or states that are prominently white or different ethnic, but when it comes to an African American community, they're dumping in, like even like the chemical factories, the a lot of things that would not be that people would fight for. And the last thing is that our people do not stand as a community, as a nation within it, because it's like really what nation would we have, you know, being African American? I know we live in America, but we don't come together as a community of African Americans to have their own. You know, mm-hmm. that we can rely on. And the last statement is, I like the fact that he did switch the roles,
mm-hmm.
the role play, because now I look at it as this. Now let's switch the role plays in some of the box office movies and things like that and see how that worked as well.
All right, good comments. Thank you so much, Michael. We appreciate you listening this morning.
Thank you too, Tiffany. You have a great day.
All right, you do the same. And I saved our director, Lane, for last. The comment, or rather the question that I put forth to the actress a little while ago. What was the first reaction you got when you told people about what you're doing in terms of reversing the races for Uncle Tom's Cabin, that the slaves are white and the slave masters are black? And do you think that this discussion that will happen from the play will actually do a lot for creating at home discussions and to create change?
Yeah, I mean, the first conversation that came upon, it was when we were auditioning the play, and there was certainly great, you know, positive feedback I got from, you know, friends and my associates, but then it actually went national in the press that we were doing this, and that was not a pleasant conversation in the beginning of that process, because there wasn't any understanding about the play, there wasn't any understanding about the novel, and there wasn't a trust that, as artists, we're taking this on because we believe in it for the good. Now, that quickly got overwhelmed by really positive, encouraging comments for the courage that this entire artistic team and cast had in putting on this play. And to this day, over the last 6 months, almost every day I get a comment about the bravery and courage of this cast, and that we're actually standing up and doing theater that we believe in, as opposed to theater that will just sell tickets. And that's super exciting, and I couldn't be more glad that that I did decide to sort of step off the cliff and do this show, and more glad that I have the support of the cast that I do. As far as conversation goes, you know, we all sitting here, including you, Tiffany, have seen the conversation already spark. The conversation that's happening on the radio right now as we speak, the conversation we had in New York at the developmental workshop, is really exciting. I think that there's nothing more important than a conversation occurring across race and across class about race, not just within, you know, each other's neighborhoods and each other's homes, but across neighborhoods. Because in the end, what Philly needs to do is Philly needs to speak to itself across its boundaries. It's a city full of boundaries. And and having lived here my whole life, I'm frankly just sick of it. I want to reach, you know, President Obama, when he was running for office the first time, gave his beautiful speech in Philadelphia, and he created a picture of sort of a post-racial America where race wasn't the most applicable thing about our identities anymore. And I want to do my part in reaching that. I think it's a beautiful vision. I came recently, went to South Africa to sort of see what was going on in that country after apartheid, and to see that they were taking steps, in fact, much faster within the 18 years post-apartheid. You already saw sort of prep schools fully integrated. I mean, there's still huge problems in South Africa, but in pockets you saw some beautiful integration. And yet here we are, what, 170 years after emancipation or so, and we still have, you know, we've made steps, but not the steps we should make as fast as we should make as the great country we are. I really think that we can go, I think we could be more bold and more and more radical, really, in our approach to reaching Obama's dream. I think Steve's character in Uncle Tom's Cabin says, if we emancipate, are we willing to educate? And he sort of challenges, is this country ready? Can it do the steps after emancipation? And what Stowe shows is that this country didn't do all the steps post-emancipation that it should have taken. And the legacy of slavery still exists in huge differences in education and income levels and opportunity. And we need to really boldly address those issues of education and opportunity if we're going to reach Obama's vision. I at least want to keep Obama's vision alive in the hearts of our audience, because I think it's a beautiful way to wake up every morning and think that we could make steps towards that goal.
All right. Good comments. I know we're getting close to the end of the show, and we want people to know about the production. When is it? Where is it? How people can find out more about it?
Yeah. Previews this coming Wednesday, the 29th, officially opens on the 31st on Friday, and it runs through June 9th. It's at Plays and Players Theater, though tickets are all purchased through EgoPo. You can go online to egopo.org, www.egopo.org, or call the phone number at 267-273-1414.
And could you spell EgoPo in case people are just like, what? What are you saying?
Absolutely.
What?
EgoPo.org is the website. We hope that it's going to, you know, bring out great audiences. There's already been a huge amount of excitement around the show, obviously. And we encourage anybody who's curious about the show, even if they're curious going, I don't know about this, come and experience. And in the end, don't talk about theater, don't think about theater, go to theater. That's its whole point, is just go there and have the experience.
Okay. Final comments from our actors. Why should people see this and have a discussion afterwards? Anthony.
I think people should see this show and have a discussion about it because, as many of the callers expressed and as we've expressed on this side, race is very much a mental thing. And how best can we express like what's on our minds besides talking to one another, you know? And how best can we and introduce new thoughts into our minds besides going to have new experiences and definitely seeing Ego Pose reverse cast. Uncle Tom's Cabin and Unfortunate History will be an experience that will offer new insights into the minds of blacks, whites, and everything in between. That's worthwhile.
Ryan.
This has just really been, it's really a good show. I recommend everyone to go see it. City of Philadelphia, your girl Tiffany Bacon is amazing in this, I just have to say. And also, real quick, I just want to share this, and I'm not gonna pull the cat out the bag lane. But there's one scene in this play where one of the slaves is in a difficult predicament, and they have to do everything in their power to protect themselves and their loved one. And there's music playing, and there's so much emotion in that scene. Mm-hmm. And every time we go through that scene during rehearsal, I mean, there's still quietness, and everyone's and all the actors, you know, in between the scenes, I mean, their tears are coming in their eyes, and it's just amazing. I think everyone's going to enjoy the show, and it's a whole journey. It's going to be parts you're going to laugh. It's going to be parts you're going to, you know, be, oh, okay, this is where we're going, and there's going to be parts where you're just so emotionally connected. So I think everyone's going to have a good time.
Awesome. Final word, Steve.
It's about story. It's about story, and this is a story that I said before is a part of our American history. And just come on out, and we're not just, you know, wagging fingers and saying, you know, making comics about race. We're there to entertain as well. So, but in that time, you're going to see a story. You're going to have a good time.
So, all right. Great comments. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. We will make sure we put the information up on our website. So in case you missed some of it, you can always find it. And you can also find it on my Facebook page. Look for Praise in the City on Facebook.com. Much love going out to my offsite producer, Donovan West, and my in-studio producer, Larry. Thank you for all that you do. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive day. Marriage Beyond the Vows is next. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's Inspiration Station.